there you are free and you have pride.
Long as you stay on your own side.
Free to be anything you choose.
Free to wear devils and shine shoes.
Everywhere crime in America, organized crime in America, terrible time in America.
You forget I'm in America.
That song, just, and that whole play, it's just so far ahead of its time.
No, it is. Yes, it is. But I think people need to remember, there was a piece on NPR yesterday about Sandra Day O'Connor. She was a woman on the Supreme Court. People just need to widen that lens out, because when did West Side Story come out? 1958?
57 to 58, yeah.
Okay. So, go watch it. Stop yibbling on your device. Go watch it. I'm not talking to people who are old. I'm talking about people who just suddenly, oh my gosh.
People who are young and don't understand.
Yeah, but this is, it's not that it isn't new. It's that there is a context for developing and evolving, and it's not just a push of a button thing. And sitting and disagreeing or opining about stuff that you know, that your level of information is not high, is inefficient.
Ooh. All right. We're getting set to wrap up with America from West Side Story. Just an amazing...
But where is my Cheetah Rivera favorite part?
Well, I can leave it up here for a second.
I like the Island of San Juan. I know a boat you can get on.
Well, we'll see. We're going to play it out to the end and then bring in Jim Lynch, because we're going to be talking about immigration. Sorry about that. Joe, you missed it. It was earlier.
Sorry about that. You did the movie version instead of the actual... her singing that song, which was great. I mean, it's wonderful if you like dancing and you've got a video screen, but...
There's a lot of music.
That's a really succinct, well-written, thank you very much, Stephen Sondheim song.
All right, there we go. And ladies and gentlemen, we bring in a man who's been around for a long time, covering, of course, he's an independent voice of Wall Street, the economy, politics. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Lynch. Hey, Jim.
Good morning. What a marvelous, marvelous segue. Beautiful.
Did you have that? That was
so marvelous, that play, the movie. It was incredible. That's incredible.
Well, fortunately, Steven Spielberg is doing it all over again.
But, you know, with Jim, the reason I wanted to play that, because you had immigration, is that people, young people, don't appreciate. If you listen to the lyrics of the songs, it's just absolutely so dead on. And it was, like I said, in the 50s. I mean,
this has been going on for some time. You know, the Statue of Liberty. I hope. What I had said earlier to Marshall, and, you know, I'll just say this now and then be quiet for the rest of the show, but I'm just unhinged by the lens that or the filter through which is being presented at this point, because it's not even lowest common denominator of understanding, it's lowest common denominator of human beings' most base and fearful instincts,
right?
And it's exploited by the media, and I'm really sorry. It needs to stop. Can't handle it.
What's interesting is he captured the words, certainly, but there's a spirit in the music. In the music, it's almost like, it is the human spirit being expressed. Anyhow, let's talk a little bit about immigration. George W. Bush, the son of Big George, he actually said during his time that immigration is a strength and a blessing for our country. And it echoed something that Ronald Reagan, in his heyday, the beginning of his presidency, actually June of 1984, and you can get this on the Internet, it's probably one of his best speeches regarding what we, the United States, did with our allies and others. But it's all about the importance of us as a nation of peoples from all over the globe who came together as a country. And we certainly came together for World War II to defeat people who didn't like our democracy. And what's so interesting is that there were all races, creeds, ethnicities in that war with all the other soldiers of the United States. They were fighting side by side, and they brought us a victory second to none, which sets the stages for the wonderful times we've had since. Though we have had rocky times, and we're certainly in rocky times now. But, you know, look, just picking up on Marshall's comment, our young people really don't, well, they don't have the experience, but they don't have the knowledge of so many things that have created this country and made this country great. And I was interested in Wisconsin. They've been fighting over adding or not adding a civics course in their curriculum. I wasn't able to investigate it wholly, just came across it. But the point is, I do recall when the schools in New York City, they pruned, they changed, they listened to people who wanted to do it differently, and they took out many of the history and civic and courses that would broaden a child or a teenager. So now we have this internet. We can help our children get up to date by investigating ourselves and then going to the so many different sites that give you historical reference. It's about this country and about the world. So I think we should all try and help ourselves and our children to use this device, the internet, which sometimes cannot be the greatest, but certainly it is very positive implications for us. Along the lines of immigration, I came across a story a couple of days ago, which is just incredible. This young man, I think he's about 18 now, he got 37 different scholarships to different colleges. And the story is so, so wonderful. He came as a child with his family from the islands. He was an immigrant. And they were homeless for a while. And then the family put it together in some way, and they got themselves a regular dwelling. And this young man, with the help and strength and guidance of his mom, learned how to use the brain, which he has, which must be pretty remarkable, to go on and to achieve greatness in his schools, so that he's going to go to some college tuition-free. But that is, if you would, the American dream in a nutshell. The people who came here from all over the world, no matter where it is, they didn't necessarily all come under this duress of being homeless when they got here, though many did, actually. And they picked themselves up, pulled up their boots, went and got an education.
Yep.
Here in the city of New York, which I can speak to probably better than many places, the immigrants came and they took the jobs nobody else wanted. They took the tough jobs, the dangerous jobs, be it in police work or firemen, and on it goes. And they worked themselves up, and they became politicians and judges and lawyers and stockbrokers and so forth. That happened all over the country. I happen to have the pleasure of having lived here and heard about those things sometimes rather than experiencing them. This is very key for us at this time in our country's life to get us and our kids more appreciative of what this country is all about. And it's not about one-upsmanship. It's about teamwork, which is why you'll find children respond so readily to sports, be they in grammar school or high school, as they're in their formative years. There's something about being together with other human beings or another human being and succeeding or trying to succeed at something which you love or you like. And that is what is in all of this, that kind of desire to succeed, to be better. It's the positive side of what sometimes can go the wrong way, get a little sour. So the education is important, the togetherness is important, and I remember saying this many years ago on this show, you have to talk to your children in a very frank way, particularly now. Honesty is the only way to go. Guidance, the only way to go.
Well, you know, when you say talk to your children and internet, most families have this ability now, whether they want to believe it or not, where everybody's missing a real interesting time here. You can take your computer, you can take your tablet, whatever, and Bluetooth it to your big screen, your flat screen, modern TV. And you can sit and you can peruse the internet with your family, showing them sites, talking about.
You can look at pictures of you know, if you can't get you can out, go back, see a monument.
You can go back in history. You can go back and see these things. And this is, you know, Jim, no one, not anybody, has mentioned this. Not anybody on TV, not anybody from Facebook, not anybody from
it's
Twitter.
It's all about isolating each person into their own little
you can actually,
3x5 room.
With the technology that's available, I'll say for 75% of the houses with smart TVs, you can make the internet a family event like it used to be sitting around.
Like television used to be.
Yeah. You can make it, and you can choose, like, it doesn't have to be 1 hour a day. You can choose a topic Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Weekends, let them go. But use the week. No one has mentioned to start things like this, and I think that would be a great way to adapt and teach children how to use the internet properly.
And set a good example for their kids ultimately, because the other thing that's going on, which I find really staggering, because I know a fair number of youngins, and unless they've had a very specific upbringing, by this I mean either unless they've had the opportunity to ride or play sports or do something tangible like that. Most of the ones with the New York upbringing have trouble here. They don't know how to relate to people. Mm-hmm. They don't know how to figure stuff out. I asked a kid who's going through a divorce at this moment. And when I say kid, he's 35. And they've got their settlement conference coming up, and I said, "Oh, blah blah blah," and he said, "Well, that doesn't matter," and I said, "Well, you know, here's why it does," and he was absolutely stunned that anyone would look at it from that different perspective. There's a mess. Or a mass, or whatever. There are so many different angles to look at things, and it appears that that is discouraged by this constant interacting with screens, looking at what you want to, or responding to what you want to. It doesn't open. I don't know how this works technically, but it doesn't seem to broaden people's minds.
You know, Jim, we're talking immigration, and we're talking about, I don't know if you saw the video, I saw it, they call him the Egg Boy in New Zealand, in Australia, in Melbourne, Australia, the guy was who's a racist, and he's a member of the legislature there, was really just talking down about what happened. And this kid did something terribly wrong, took an egg and cracked it on the guy's head. He got arrested and everything like that. But then here's the weird part of the internet and the weird part of how it all gets together. Someone formed a GoFundMe page for the kid, all right, to pay his legal expenses. Well, right now that GoFundMe page is up to $40,000. And the kid's family said, you know what? And the kid said, we're going to take that money and donate it to the victims of the mosque attacks. Now, John Oliver had this. This is a confluence of events where the kid was wrong. There's just, you know, I mean, you don't hit somebody with an egg. But out of that action and the reaction of the person, some good has come of it. And the kid that hit him with the egg admitted he was wrong and admitted and you know, is going through all that process. So there is some hope for the internet, and there is some hope for people realizing about immigration problems are not just based in this country. It's around the world. And there are certain nationalities, there are certain religions that are the focus of this. And, you know, I'm sorry if you happen to be brown or Hispanic, or if you happen to be a Muslim, you're at the top of the list, unfortunately, nowadays. And this is in the world.
But it's a different list.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been religious persecution since the word go. So I'm not defending it. I'm just saying it is something that every generation has had to live with. It is. It would be wonderful if people knew about it and were able to leave their mark on it in a more constructive way.
And we'll get back to your thoughts here now, Jim.
I came across a story when Abraham Lincoln, as you say, I've been around, when Abraham Lincoln was running, the Germans were immigrating to this country, and those who were here already were very upset with it. And the other party that was running against Lincoln had this immigrant philosophy that, you know, stay away, this is our country. Bottom line, Abraham Lincoln won. But the corollary is, as you know, Abraham Lincoln then freed the slaves, not really completely, but enough so that all of a sudden there was a new group in the workforce, though not the entire workforce. I found it quite ironic that something like that has happened. And just food for thought, you know, you never know what your actions will produce. And if you're true to yourself, true to your course, you're okay no matter what happens. But if you deviate from your course, you got to live with it. Staying with New Zealand now, a wonderful story about one man who was in the mosque, who came out and started chasing the guy who was shooting. He came out, he challenged him. The guy started shooting at him. He ran around cars. The guy went back. The shooter went back to get another gun. This guy somehow got a fax machine or a phone or something, and he threw it against this guy's window, and he broke the window. The guy then took off. He took off. He was dedicated to go back, and God only knows how many more would have died or been injured. But there you go. The human spirit, which we all have, coming forward. That man could have stayed in the mosque or took his son, who was with him, somewhere else. But he came out and he said, I'm standing here. I am standing here, and I'm not going to let anything else happen. Great hero. And we've had many great heroes in this country and all over the world. And if we can only get back into the heroism part of ourselves, I can't think of the lines or whatever, but there's a man named Joseph Campbell. He's passed away some time ago. He wrote a number of books. He taught at Sarah Lawrence in New York. And he gets into things like the human spirit and what makes us up and things like that philosophically. Tremendous read, tremendous guy. You can find him on video as well somewhere. I believe he had several long interviews. The key here is we have to stick together. We as human beings have to stick together. We are being confronted now with a crisis. I'm not talking politically. I'm talking in the climate. I'm talking about the air we breathe, the water we drink. Very simplistic things. We have to gather together to do something to get this stuff regulated, to improve it. We have the technologies. We just need the will to do it. Very, very, very wonderful. Lost probably in a lot of what's going on. Young people throughout the world, I believe it was last Friday, basically rallied for all of us to take responsibility for improving the climate by regulating ourselves, regulating our excesses. As a politician, Governor Washington, Inslee is his name, Inslee, seen him on the tube a few times, running for president. Very, very, very attractive-looking candidate. His main claim is, if we don't solve the problem, we won't have a planet to live on. Now, he's not alone, but he says it very, very convincingly. The kids are out there. Responsible people are telling us, you have to get together with little groups, write, go protest, have coffee clutches, write to your congressman, but become more aware. We're letting our largesse, this planet, dissipate because of sloppiness, because of greed, corporate greed, private greed. Most of it's corporate greed. You know, I don't want to finish with Boeing because it's too disturbing a story, in my opinion. But I think you should really follow the breadcrumbs in terms of Boeing and what they did and didn't do in terms of on a quick basis solving the problem. The problem, I guess I got into it, the problem with Boeing was the following. Three pilots had reported to the FAA that U.S. pilots prior to one of the crashes, maybe one after, basically saying they were having problems with this automatic gear. One of the pilots in writing said, this guide to how to do all of this new equipment, it's too simplistic. It's not detailed enough. The FAA didn't do anything. The FAA reports to the Secretary of Transportation, but more importantly, as they were beginning to get into it, the FAA and Boeing, to try and solve this problem, all of a sudden, the government was closed for 35 days. And during that 35 days, this problem could not be worked upon by the FAA and the regulatory body. So much for government.
All right, we have about a minute left, Jim.
Well, you know. Anyhow.
I got to be the bad guy, sorry.
That's okay. You're one hell of a good bad guy, I'll tell you right now. I'm looking out and I'm saying, oh boy. I think it's almost time for me to get my baseball glove out. Anyhow, folks, come on. Pick up the socks and the boots. Put a smile on your face. You're an American. Read your history. Learn. And most importantly, talk frankly to your kids so they all become better citizens. All right, live and love. Have a great week. Great show. Thank you very much for listening to me. I appreciate it.
All right, take care, Jim.
Right, bye-bye.
Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets here on Robinhood Radio. And, of course, Jim is live, and you can also check him out on demand at robinhoodradio.com.